Hi there, and welcome to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a good day, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope you've had a chance to kind of get out and enjoy the weather. And I guess that's relative to wherever you are. Here, it's an unusual, warm, beautiful, incredibly, fertile summer season. Usually, we get, by this time, July, is which I, when the time I'm doing the show, it's drier and much more arid, and the plants are beginning to get brown. But this year, everything's late, and so it's still in like full bloom, just beautiful. So I'm lucky to be where I am because that's what's happening and I'm enjoying it. There are other times when it hasn't, you know, it's like anything else. It's cyclical and you go with whatever is happening for you in the moment. So if it isn't good outside, I hope it's good inside. How's that? The book I wrote called Talking to Night Lights, I talked about a light and an energy. And for me, it's the energy that comes through the light. The light is like our body. Our body isn't all of who we are. The light is what we engage, that inner energy, that vibration, frequency, dimension. That element of us is ever present, whatever form we happen to inhabit or display. Our words and language for this are really limited because once you get into these modes and these ways of seeing and being, your mind expands and your consciousness separates from being stuck in a physical form to becoming a much larger awareness, a much larger state. And then things happen that before you really, really couldn't even have imagined. Because there was no space for it. You were in a box that was too small. And so there was no room for that imagination. But once these things start happening, then you begin to imagine more. And then you try to figure out, okay, am I imagining this or am I creating it or am I projecting? What's going on here? And that's the beauty of the interviews that I do, the people I connect with for Conscious Living. And I was doing that in radio a long time before I, you know, got into this internet thing. But I had to do it more clandestine. I had to be very careful about who I picked to talk to and how much I revealed of what my own personal experience was, because I was still in that 9-to-5, a little bit more conservative and conventional mode, and not wanting to lose credibility and realizing afterwards and after I finally got out of that way of thinking that you don't lose credibility when you start learning more about your environment, more about your reality, actually become more credible because you're less willing to take limits as the be-all end-all. You're more willing to say, what if? Maybe. I don't know. And it's okay. In the conventional way of thinking, when you say, I don't know something, well, yeah, you know nothing. But when you go into the indigenous cultures and you find out about like Native Americans, the clown, the Hioka. When you find out, or if you do the tarot, the basic tarot, the fool has everything and nothing. And it's a wonderful state of being because anything is possible. But when you do that in real life, you become the fool. Everybody has this thing of, well, the fool is the lowliest place you can possibly be because you know nothing. And the mystic says, and that's the perfect place to be because everything is nothing, and nothing is everything. Ta-da! Trump. So anyway, that's what happened when this nightlight thing began for me, and that was 1997. Now, of course, these things had been happening all along. I just wasn't tuned in. I wasn't paying attention. So to give you an analogy, if you go into your house and you pick one thing, you get rid of everything else, one thing to focus on, one thing that means something to you, and you give that your full attention, by golly, you're going to find out more about it, whether you want to or not. And whether you don't find out about that object, but you find more about yourself because you have limited all of the other avenues of distraction, you have begun to see more clearly that which is in front of you. It's as easy as that. Okay, my job isn't to tell you how to do this. What I'm here to do is to tell you it can be done. You can increase your awareness, expand your consciousness. It doesn't take any drug. It doesn't take any miracle encounter. It takes a moment of you saying, I'm ready. Let's see where this goes. And getting rid of all of the elements that give you a chance to tune out, to distract you, and to take you away from that thing that is calling you into a better knowing of yourself. Silence. I've seen people recently, and you know, the Facebook thing where you see lots of comments and lots of interaction and lots of engagement in life happenings. And of course, they're not posting their entire life story. It would take too long. But you get little snippets. And a lot of people, I've noticed just in passing, when they're going through a tough time or something, they really are afraid to be alone. Because that lone time is frightening. And much of it is they're frightened of their own thoughts. Not of what else is out there or what might happen because of what's out there. It's what they're thinking when they're alone. So the first way to start all of this is to go into your own mind and ask, what am I afraid of? What would I find frightening? What am I totally unable to abide by? And what if that happened? Where would I be? What would I do? Where would I go? What would I think? What would I know? Okay, the reason you address that is so that you can take it basically off the table of things that are going to happen without you knowing about it. When you run a fear program, autopilot in the background, no matter how small, it's there. It's there. And the more you allow that to distract you and to run amok, the more complicated your life becomes, because that little element of fear is stirring up dirt. It's stirring the pot. I would do this, but I can't. I'm afraid. And most of the time, people don't say I'm afraid. There's a reason. There's an excuse. There's a valid explanation. Okay, well, fine. As long as that's there, there's the fear. So you're either going to confront the fear or the reason. The reason is making a space for fear. When we realize that we are making that space to allow whatever is frightening, intimidating, derailing, debilitating, keeping us stuck. When we realign our energy and focus on how we can become more aware, more acknowledging that sometimes it's okay to be frightened, but we don't have to let that run our lives or rule our mindset. But it takes more tap dancing, more ability to shift position and to go back into the state of not knowing, not assuming an outcome will happen just because that's what's happened every single time before. And if you look at the guys and gals who've given us some of the most wonderful, radical inventions in their time, they didn't stop their experimenting, their exploring, their researching, because 10,000 times it did not work. That attitude wasn't there. The attitude and the belief set, the mindset that kept them going was that incredible, insatiable, what if it works? What if it works? What if I can make this happen if I do something different? What different do I have to do? And I won't know until 10,000 times later. And nobody knows if it's going to be 10,000 or 10,001. The only way you can be defeated is when you stop trying. When you say, I can't. It can't be done. Because as soon as you do that, you're right. Absolutely correct for you, not for anybody else. They're not playing by your rules. You're playing by your rules. This enlightenment thing, when it happens, derails all the rules. Things happen that don't exist in our timeline. Our frame of reference, our state of mind, our blueprint for physical living. But when you get into that other element of metaphysical, outside the body, what's going on that we can't see? And there was another wonderful study. This was on turtles and the way they see the world. And they're going, which is, of course, mind-blowing to scientists who are studying them. And this is like a big aha moment. They have a visual range that humans don't. They can see things in light spectrums that humans are not aware of. Oh, wow! You know, if we didn't think so highly of ourselves, and that our way of seeing was the best and only way we could learn what else there is to be seen that might be worth paying attention to before it taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, want to go grab a coffee? Or whatever they do out there on planet Pluto in a different dimension, the one where Pluto is inhabited and has all of this wonderful office space available for people who'd like a new job. Interdimensional traveler. You see, when you get rid of all of the limitations and all of the no way in heck is this possible, you realize there's a whole lot of potential out there. And who best to do it? To explore it, to discover it, to allow it, to make the 10,000 efforts to show, not to prove it, to show it. Proof is relative. Proof changes, believe it or not. Because as you shift the equation and you bring new factors, new elements into the conscious knowing, the proof dissolves. It's no longer necessary. It just is. It isn't provable, but it happens. We need proof when we live in a linear world, when we live in a linear thing, a methodical way of being. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Q, R, S, T. Oh, whoop. Hey. Did we skip? Or did we add? The missing is still there. I just skipped ahead. Surprise. See, that's the kind of way of thinking. Just because I didn't say it out loud doesn't mean it isn't present. It's in a mindset somewhere. Somebody's saying the words or letters or numbers or equations that I didn't fill in. Okay? Now, the reason I set this all out is because that's the way my mind works. You know, most times. Except when it's not working, and then that's another story. But no, part of it is that you have to be able to say, sometimes the rules will not create the outcome that you need. You'll be given another outcome, and you'll have to figure out what the rules were that enabled that to present itself. For me, when the nightlight energy started happening, I turned everything upside down, inside out. I started having visions of the real, for me, guides, teachers, non-physical elements that are present that maybe a turtle can see. I know my dog can see them. She tells me the cats have seen them. I had cats who played with my nightlight. Then the nightlight will flash in sequence, in a cadence that goes along with a song on a radio, occasionally. this isn't something I control. So I can't say, hey, dance to this song. I show everybody you can dance. And the one thing they told me, aside from the fact we are not a nightlight, is that, and what that means is when I turn out the light, overhead light, the nightlight also shuts itself off. It says it's conserving energy. Okay. Well, which means when you need a nightlight to see if you're stepping on the dog on the way to the bed, it's not going to work. You have to go with your own inner sense of and putting your feet on the carpet really slow to make sure you're not stepping out of tail. Okay. Cause the nightlight is just not, doesn't cooperate that way, but that's its way of showing me, of engaging me, of demonstrating. It isn't what I think. It isn't just an ordinary engagement with a non-sentient being. So to me, in doing all of this expanding thing, I have discovered you do not have to have a body to have awareness, to have being, to have presence, essence. And one of the things I was given in that A, B, C, D, E, F, G thing is that as a being, a person, a human, a body, a corporeal form, we are one letter of that fabulous alphabet, whatever alphabet you subscribe to. As a physical form, we are one of all that is. In other words, all of that other component, those other elements are out there. When and where and how we can access them, I don't have the answer to. But I do know I am exploring. And I am open. And I am willing to suspend disbelief and turn that in for a solid sense of what if. So what that does is it helps me when things happen that I cannot explain because another view, another frame of reference that would fill in all of those blanks is just outside of my awareness. I'm not quite big enough. I haven't expanded enough to be able to take in the whole view. Now I can let it frighten me because I'm seeing something that is extremely mind-boggling or sensing something or hearing something. It's like when the voice in my room said my name or when I had energy standing beside my bed telling me as I was putting out the light and upgrading and trying to give myself a higher sense of being, increasing my vibration. They said, you can't stop this. You cannot prevent this. I'm like, okay. And in that brief second of thinking, should I be afraid? I'm thinking, you know, it won't do me any good. I could be afraid. It's still going to happen. Okay. Or was it that they said that so that I wouldn't stop it? There's a mind game too. In other words, I was in over my head. And so what happened was in the morning I woke up and my earrings, the little screw-on earrings, were undone. I didn't ever feel a physical presence. I felt an energy. I felt more than one being beside me. And it was just to make a point, not necessarily to frighten me in my way of thinking, a way of saying, come on, kiddo, you don't know. And the cool thing is you don't know what you don't know. So get busy. Keep trying, keep learning, keep exploring. Now, it's difficult when the daily drama catches you. You know, when the news headlines lead you a certain way, you have all the best intentions for the day and you're going to be, oh, full of peace, full of joy, full of happy, full of upbeat. And then something goes right to the core and you go, oh my gosh, that's horrific. It's awful. Well, that too is a mind game. There's only so much you can do about the headlines, about the reality you choose to engage. You can hold it in compassion. You can care. You can send healing, light, and know that all is perfect, no matter what the outward appearance. Things are happening because they need to happen. Change is occurring because things need to change. And sometimes changes, the catalyst for change, are unpleasant. Other times they're subtle and they're smooth and they're fluid and they're so, so tiny that we can't even see them, but we feel the result. So that's just a way of saying that everything in your environment, everything in your presence, the things that you are tuning into consciously and subconsciously, is helping to create your reality. What you choose to focus on, what you choose to engage, will bring you more of that essence and that element into your reality. How do we work with that? It's a mind game. It really is. Every single thing that we are doing is determining the result, determining the picture, determining the view. I like the holographic thing and the matrix view, where you just see all the numbers and the code and the sequence and the colors and dimensions. In a way, it's easier to do that because you go back and you reformat the hard drive and you think, I only want this code. I only want this element. I'm going to take everything else out. But you have to realize what part of you is fueling that. And it could even be from a past life, an ancestral story, something that you have done that has brought you to this moment. And yes, you have been here before. You may not have even been human. The other thing about this awareness and this way of being is you dance between dimensions. In my dream time, in my visions, I have caught myself in a state of being something else. One time it was in that hypnotic state of riding in the car. I looked out the window. I happened to watch the hawk landing on a post. And for a brief moment, I felt myself uplift as I was catching my body to make the landing. And then I snapped out of it. Like, oh my, whoa, whoa, what was that? Oh man, euphoric is what it was. And another time, that same thing, autopilot, that driving thing you get where you, maybe it's just me, but I know it isn't. I know others have done this too. I was going on a route that I'd done all the time. So it wasn't, you know, that's why I'm autopilot. I know this route. I'm not, there's nobody beside me. Fortunately, that helped. But then I am beside myself in the car. I see a second luminous light form beside the one that's physical. And I'm like, holy cow, get back in here. No. Oh, okay, fine. Oh. But these experiences that help us expand our awareness, expand our abilities to know that we are more than just this bag of bones, this corporeal form, also help us to question, what else is it that we can do? What else is it that we can learn, that we can know, that we can share, that we can become while we're in the physical form? There's so much happening right now that also has an influence from our environment, the external energy, whether it's from the sun, from the earth, from the trees, from the plants, from the rocks, from the water. All of that is influencing us as we influence it. But it takes a little while to be able to get into the mode of knowing that you can access it or engage it or listen or allow. And yes, it doesn't always speak in a foreign language. It will speak in a language that is familiar to you. That's one of the things I had to learn as I was doing the channeling and bringing it through. When people say, well, those are your words, but not in the sequence. And not always words that I understood. They give me a big word I'd have to look up. And when they first did non-corporeal form, I'm like, holy, what? It wasn't what I used all the time. But somebody not knowing me, oh, well, that's a word I know, so big deal. Get over yourself. Well, I'm still trying to do that. But I, myself is where I am. So I kind of have to stay, you know, over. Otherwise, it runs amok. You learn about ego. You learn that in the need to be correct, right, accountable, credible, provable, you're going to fail some of the time. Because some of the best ways to learn how to get it right are to get it wrong. You just refine it as you go and get over a need for perfection. Perfection doesn't happen here. That's why we're here. We can appreciate things that appear to be perfect, knowing that that really isn't the point. The point is creation. And in creation, there's always some element, if it's a perfect creation, of imperfection. Why? Because it leaves an out. It leaves a room for growth, for expansion, for evolution, for the next phase. Once it's perfect, it's done. Done. Dead. Gone. Old. See, that's the deal. If it's perfect, there's no room for improvement. There's no upgrade. So perfect isn't necessarily a role that you want to acquire or aspire to, because then you're stuck. But that's just me and my way of seeing how we evolve and my way of learning to take it to the next level. And that perfection isn't necessarily all it's cracked up to be, especially where we are now. That doesn't discount the desire for improvement, the desire for self-betterment, the desire to have something completed in a beautiful state or a full state before you step into the next layer, level, dimension, awareness, insight. And that's the cool thing about this. Getting back to the nightlight. For me, it's a sign. It's a single, and I think, presence, image, impression, illumination, because there are many more, but it's a one thing that I have that gives me constant reassurance that there is more. Moses had a burning bush. I've got a nightlight. God speaks in many forms, many ways, many beings, through many levels. And the word God is still not big enough. All it is and is more. See, that's really a way of looking at it, because then you see the potential and the possibilities. When this happened, I didn't want to see. I said, no, I don't want to see dead people. I don't want that connection. It happens, whether you want it or not. It's just there. And so we took a vacation, went down to Texas. I'm in Kansas. That's the middle of the country, Midwest. And I know that you may not be from the USA in terms of our location. So that's a way of getting out of the house. And the nightlight there started flickering. What was I supposed to pay attention to? Well, guess what? We'll take a quick break and I'll come back and tell you more about paying attention and nightlights.
Do you get tired of styling your hair every day? And do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called inventnow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side, then you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
This coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
It's always nice to come home. But these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
It's Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, before the break, we talked about the nightlight and taking a little vacation, getting out of town, heading to Texas. Okay, the reason the nightlight does what it does is just a constant reminder for me to keep doing my work. Some days I'm better at that. Other days I just let it go autopilot. Hi, thank you. I appreciate your presence. But I'm not able to focus on that. You have to take downtime. The physical body, that's just part of it. We blink in, we blink out, we go to sleep, we wake up. Sleeping is also working. And if you're experiencing things like, you know, you might be considering it insomnia. If it happens between 1:30 and 3:30, maybe not. Because that's a time, that's a window when our conscious, subconscious, our conscious connection to the greater is more attuned. And we can have input that might be helpful if we're working at a higher level, if we're trying to expand our awareness. Because it's a quiet time. It's a thing when the buzz, whatever part of the planet you're on, the buzz is a little calmer and the nature energies are a little louder. Okay, not a frightening thing. It's just a wonderful shift, the day and the night. You can learn from both. So again, getting back to the fear, get over getting afraid of the dark. Get over getting afraid of all the beings that you are surrounded by, whether they're animals, plants, insects, all right? Because you'll draw them to you if you don't, if you're doing that autopilot frightened mode. So that was what I was alluding to in terms of I didn't want to see dead people. Well, there are a lot of dead people at this place. Just giving you a clue. And other people who've stayed at the place that we stay have said, did you notice a few things? Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. they're vocal in a way that you'll hear music and it's, you know, the AC is running and we thought, okay, it's just an element the AC is doing. Well, this time the AC was broken and the music was still there. Okay, fine. And they're not, they don't interfere, but they do keep watch. They're guardians and caretakers for this space and the people who are there, because these people have done some things in their lives where they are very, very connected to those who have crossed over, who have shifted form before them. And so they are there helping and in some ways just hanging out, playing cards. It's just that, the buddy system. Okay, and you'll have your own. You may not be aware of them yet, or they may, you know, never make an appearance until you're ready to make your own exit. But it's nice knowing when I go there that these folks are keeping watch. They don't interfere in terms of, they can't, you know, if somebody went there and they weren't supposed to be there, they don't interfere in that way, although they can if they deem it necessary. Electrical things will malfunction, or noises. Those things are really good. Lights flashing, or a light flashing when there's no light there, because they are electrical. That energetic element is present, so they can make that happen. So you'll see things. And that way they can, I guess, make an impression. But it isn't something to expect. It's just part of that element. So in going there, it's a way of reminding me, okay, wherever I go, the energy of the space is going to reflect whoever is living in it. And that space always has an energy of some kind. Sometimes it has baggage from prior tenants, prior residents. And sometimes it has baggage from others who have crossed over, who have decided to come and park for a while because they really don't want to go forward, or they have something that's unfinished business. And then other times, because they see the light and they just want somebody to say, yes, I see you. Now you can go on. All right. So I learned a whole lot about all of these other ways of being and seeing. And in going down there, I am also connecting to, there are different animals in that space. When I went to a UFO conference, which I thought was really interesting because I don't do that very often, and there's a different element, a different energy involved in that. Really, really, intense. It's a heavier energy and it's intense. Heavy doesn't always mean negative. It means more complicated. It's complicated. And a big, huge, like the Harry Potter, Hedwig the owl, Harry Potter, huge white owl flew over us in broad daylight. Just saying to pay attention, pay attention. And when I went to that conference, I was told, don't stay long, just go and leave. And there was a reason. The reason I got was that there's a psyops thing going on in association with all of that stuff. And it isn't an element that presents itself or makes itself known, which would really clarify that term psyops. But a few other things happened. Again, this metaphysical and psychic type thing where I was given a dream and the dream manifested. In the meantime, though, when I tried to take pictures, my eyes, I had this burning, absolute tear streaming down my face because they had said, time to go. And I was taking one more picture. That ended that. No more photo session. But I look back to see, what was I taking a picture of? Could I figure it out? When the time is right, maybe. And maybe it's better, I don't know. That's the other thing, too, is there are some things you do not want to know. They are not any of your business, and it's better if you just steer clear. So when you get information from the deceased and you realize it might make others uncomfortable in a way that you're giving them negative information, the living, information that it is not, that you haven't been instructed by the deceased, that you're trying to show them that I am important because I know this and I got this. Okay, this is the ego thing. It can really plant you on your tush quickly if you try to break a few rules in terms of going for the good of the greater rather than the good of the being. Okay. Well, bringing that back, that's information I don't need. But they were showing me that element is there. It's very present. It's very real. It's another, what these things are about, another engagement with a different dimension of our reality. Okay. So before you discount somebody else's reality, make darn sure you've got a good grip on your own. Okay. Just let it be what it is, and you'll find out what you need to know when you need it. So here we go. They're giving me information. Everything seems to be progressing very well in that way. It's a very compassionate and empathic comfort space. So I come back and I've had that reminder. We go to a lake and stay at a place where there's another night light that as soon as I get there, this light, it's a like an identical to my own. And then as soon as I get there, the light is going nuts. Like, oh, what is this? Why, you know, sometimes I just let it do that and don't just go about my business. I figure it's getting exercise. okay. But this time, fine. What do I need to know? What am I supposed to pay attention to? So I just kind of open my mind. And, you know, it's been a while, that upgrade into being able to get rid of the monkey mind, get rid of all those distractions and just go into the Zen mode, open, shut all of the intrusion doors and the distraction doors and go open. What do I need to hear? Grandmother. Well, where are you? Right beside you. There's a mirror that I happen to be right beside that I didn't even connect until that information is right beside you. Now, my grandmother has given me information before. And one of the times was when she had just died. And she wanted me to get the point across that there were certain songs that she wanted at her funeral. One of them was, "I Only Want to Dance with You," George Strait. Now, in coming to that piece of information, I really had no clue how huge a fan my grandmother was. I was in a different city, different part of my life. Grandmother had very much supported me when I was doing this energy work and channeling, and she insisted that I give her 3 sessions. And at the conclusion of the 3rd session, she said that was it. So it was a way of affirming for me and validating her in an amazing circle cycle season. So when she crossed over, there's this grief. You feel it in the pit of your stomach. It's just there. It's a cord that you have been linked to in the physical, the corporeal, and an energy cord. And so those things are part of what we transition through when we change states of being. And she wanted me to know, we were there to go kayaking. And I've been working on, I want to stay physically fit. I want to stay lively, active, and not necessarily, I don't care about a marathon. I just want to be in my own way. Okay. Okay. So that's a part of what I do. If I'm feeling stressed, depressed, boggled, run down, overwhelmed, then I know I need to take care of something. I know I need to get it out of my system. So that's my way of saying, okay, I'm running the program. Everything's fluid. We're good. Or if there's a kink somewhere that I know, what in my environment do I need to change? I can only do that if I keep my physical, the vessel clean in a state of fluidity. So I understand where the blocks are. That's a way for me to do this and how I've learned it with the guides. So I said, well, since we're chatting away, do you miss being here with us? Do you miss living? No. Now, and then she qualified. You know, being with you, yes, but I'm still with you. Okay, so I'm not gone. Okay. But the thing she didn't miss was having the body. because she said it was excruciatingly frustrating, annoying to watch it degrade, to go through the aging process. And my grandmother was, when she was younger, she was a dancer, square dancer. She was very active. And so in, she was 50s and 60s, I think, when I watched her do her headstand to show me how, you know, still flexible she was. And so here I am going through that phase of, if I want to remain fluid and flexible, doing the kayak thing, which I absolutely love. And there it is. Grandmother's checking in. And she's saying, remember to keep moving, but don't rush. Ah, there's no hurry. And so as I'm doing the kayak and the winds are blowing and it's really strong, and this is only like the second or third time I'm exercising my kayak muscles, I'm thinking, oh, and a friend did this for me with her dog. The dog is getting older, having a tough time going up the steps. I had issues with my guy when he went through that aging process too. And she said, okay, slow and steady. And she gets into a cadence. And slow and steady, and helps him listen to that as he goes his way up the steps. I wish I had known that with Max. But he figured out a way around it anyway. However, as I'm doing my going across the lake and knowing this is what I want to do and it feels good, slow and steady, I'm not in a race. I'm racing against me, but I'm going where I want to go in my own boat, in my own time, in my own way. I am me. All of that is a metaphor for how we create our reality. And in that moment, my grandmother, or the being who presented itself as my grandmother, because I have no proof. When we deal with the non-corporeals, when we deal with spirit, when we deal with essence, we may get wonderful names. St. Francis has been very, very present because of my work with animals, my connection with animals, in helping me to be more in tune. Okay, they give you names as a way for you to clarify, integrate, connect, make some sort of sense of, have a linear concept, and to recreate, so that when that energy is present again, you may have a similar name, key, code. But the names really are difficult to prove. And you'll have psychics who say, well, this person crossed over in such and such and such, and that's okay. But when you're dealing with a larger picture and a larger frame of reference, when you get beyond that corporeal thing where it's not just dead people, it's all sorts of stuff, elementals, fairies, other beings from other dimensions that we don't have a name for, that I have pictures of, this beautiful electric type picture, those turtle things, that energy that we can't see in the turtle can, well, the camera can catch it too. So when you have all of that around you, you have to somehow make sense of it for the way that we operate. And the energy that is my grandmother, rather than the nightlight, had a bit of information for my puzzle, because she has also been in this form doing the kind of process that I am doing right now, working with aging, working with that, reclaiming the body and defining how it will or won't work. I've healed things and learned how to do self-healing, but I cannot teach it. I can say I have done it and this is what happened. But it is something each and every one has his own way of connecting to, his own ability to access. He may need to go a different route. Why? Because the people who help us and the people we are here to work with are part of that as well. And if you have to go to a doctor, or if you have to go to an alternative practitioner, it's because there's something else there that requires your presence, that you will get another piece of your puzzle. So there's no judgment in terms of the right or wrong way. Each person is here to discover his way, her way, a way. And they all lead to the same place in this particular form. Okay. They've all said it before. Nobody gets out of this alive. But the cool thing is, you don't die. You transcend. You shift. You go into the bigger room. Okay. Right now we're in the little room, the little class. You know, the one in the little trailer. I was in one of those. They were expanding our school. And then later on, it kind of went the other way. But we were the ones out in the trailers, which was nice. So with that way, you see energy and you realize ghosts are not what we think. They're being something else. A different form of conscious awareness in a different dimension. And when we expand our own awareness and our own element of being, the essence, and bring in more of our letters instead of just the one, you know, play with ABCD instead of just the W. But I like W. Who, what, why, where, when? And I think I'm working with H, how. Okay. Because H is a good one for me to work with. But I cover a lot with a W. And you expand everything around you as you expand yourself. So in my connection with this nightlight energy, it's a whole different way of learning, of expressing, of seeing reality. And yet, it's just the tip of the iceberg. It's just my little window. Because however many million of us there are on this corporeal plane, think of all those who came before. And that'll blow your mind. Because they didn't come back to this planet. Some did. Some didn't. But they're out there. And we're part of that. We are part of that. That's the thing about time. Forwards, backwards. No time. We're here and there and beyond. And believe me, if you are here now, you're right where you need to be. Everything you need is inside you. It came with the package. Ask, what would it be most helpful for me to know at this time? And you will get an answer, whether it's a billboard, a book, an inspiration, a cloud, a whisper, a hug from a friend, a meow, a nightlight. You will get a response to help you get the next response and the next response. But it doesn't always happen in a linear fashion, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It happens A, B, C, D, E, F, G, Q, R, S, D, U, like that. And then you go back and you fill in the blanks. What did I overlook? What wasn't I able to see at that time? And you realize as you're doing that, so is everybody else. And some of them are your blanks to help you connect the dots and see beyond whatever it is that makes itself look like a nightlight. Because even that level of energy, of presence, is just a step above, outside, beyond, and it answers to a higher level of awareness. Inside, outside, all around, wherever it is, we are part of it. And we're just now making our connections. It's not about being dead or alive. It's about being. Okay? So go practice your being. And I'll be here, there, and everywhere. Have a great life. Till next time, I'm Wendy, and this is Conscious Living.